Well, horse racing might be known as the sport of kings, but pleasure driving is also a pretty regal activity. And if it's not a sport you're familiar with, I'm guessing you might be intrigued by the sport by the time we're done talking with John Freiberger. Larry Mueller here. By the way, happy to be back. Thanks so much to Judith Sears-Poisson for doing the show and doing a wonderful job, as she always does. I was gone about 3 weeks. And it's really fun to be back, especially with my old friend John Freiberger. John usually talks with us about home construction and different things of that nature, but he's here today because he is really interested in pleasure driving and competition. In fact, he's president of the American Driving Society. It's the affiliate of the Federation Equestrian International for Carriage Driving Sports in the U.S. Sits on the board of the U.S. Equestrian Federation and numerous committees of the American Driving Society. He's also a carriage driving judge and a competitor from a family with a long history in the equine world. So it's great to have him with us. And certainly, I hope you'll join in. Are you familiar with pleasure driving? We'd love to hear from you. And if you take part in that sport, certainly let us know. If you have questions about it, we'd love to hear those as well. And maybe if you just enjoy going to the events as a spectator and want to talk about that, glad to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org. Or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can post a question or a comment there. And John, great to have you back.
Well, it's great to be back, Larry.
It's, you know, we're used to having you talk about home improvement, but today we're talking about your passion for the sport of pleasure driving. What is pleasure driving exactly?
No short answer, Larry, and I'm going to have to give you just a little bit of history.
Yeah, great.
And that's one of the things that, you know, I have a love of historic houses and old buildings. Well, the only thing I like talking about more is pleasure driving, and part of it is because of the history of it. And I'll use Madison as an example, and this happened in small towns and large cities throughout the United States. But after the Civil War, we had this thing that developed called the middle class.
Mm-hmm.
And the middle class needed things to do because they weren't working 90 hours a week anymore. So we have the rise of sports like baseball.
Mm-hmm.
We also have pleasure driving. And pleasure driving in the old days is on Sunday, you went to your obligatory church service, and then you dressed up the kids. Well, they're already dressed for church. But you dressed up your best horse, your best carriage, and you went out and you took a drive. And you went out with friends. And these friends went, oh, these roads are terrible. Let's organize a club. So in Madison, we had the Madison Pleasure Driving Club.
Mm-hmm.
And Larry, the parks in the city of Madison were not started by the city of Madison. The parks were actually started by the Madison Pleasure Driving Society.
Interesting.
Farwell Drive that goes along the east shore of the lake was originally paved by the Pleasure Driving Society so that they could drive out there. And where the golf course is now, which I'm sure you're familiar with, was a park that was owned by the Pleasure Driving Society. So these groups actually became sort of civic improvers and civic boosters. And at one point, after the city of Madison became more of an organized government, they turned over all of their properties to the city. So it was a way of people being able to get their families together, show off a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and simply organize something to do on Sunday afternoons with their leisure time that had meaning to them.
That's really cool. And that's so that goes way back.
It goes back at least into the 1860s.
Yeah, that's. And how did you and Betsy, your wife Betsy, get involved in that?
Well, my wife is one generation removed from the farm.
Mm-hmm.
I am less than one generation removed from the farm because I was born on a farm.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandfather and his brother Elmer raised Percherons. My mother was disabled, but not when she drove a horse. My mother could drive the wheels off of a carriage because she loved it, and it gave her the ability to do things with her cousins that she couldn't do otherwise because she had to always walk with a cane. My father's family manufactured vehicles for over 100 years, and their shops in New London still exist, have been preserved now as sort of the town center coffee shop, gift shop.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure great-grandfathers and great-uncles would all be very pleased to see that the buildings still have Freiberger on them and still are in public use. So it came from carriage builders on one side, horse breeders and drivers on the other, so I didn't have a chance.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, what do we see when we go to one of these events?
We see pretty much a recreation of what you might have seen in 1880 or 1890, especially when we get into the antique classes. I actually own a vehicle, Larry, that was manufactured in 1849.
Wow.
And when I enter an antique class or what's called a turnout class pretty much is if you were driving your horse on one of the Madison pleasure drives on a Sunday afternoon and wanted to look your best, that's what the turnout class is. And basically that's what it's judged on. It's from a distance, not a real close inspection. What's the picture with the horse, the passengers, the harness all put together nicely. We also have classes, you know, sometimes you've got a good driver and not a very good horse. Mm-hmm. So we have reinsmanship classes, and that tests the skill of the driver. Then sometimes we have a novice driver with a really good horse. Well, so then we've got the working pleasure for the horse. Then we have games classes, which basically are driving accurately with speed through what look to be traffic cones, but actually are a little bit more developed than that. So there are what you would call games classes. So we're really recapitulating without going out on the highway what you would have done recreationally with your family and your horse back before the turn of the century.
That actually sounds like a lot of fun. Are there, what are the horses, what breeds of horses are typically used?
Yes.
They're all.
We have everything, Larry, from the very small equines, which most people know as minis. We have Shetlands. We have fell ponies. We have thoroughbreds. We have big Frisians. We have Dutch harness horses. We have draft horses. And one of my favorites is the draft horse classes when the Clydesdales and the Percherons come in. So basically, if you own a horse that can learn to drive, that you can take that horse to a driving show. It really encompasses everything, and that's one of the things that's maybe a little bit different than the 1890s is you do bring in the drafts, and you do bring in the little tiny ponies.
Very cool. John Freiberger, our guest today, president of the American Driving Society, the affiliate of the Federation Equestrian International for Carriage Driving Sports in the U.S., with us today to talk about the carriage driving, which is, it sounds like a lot of fun, and pleasure driving is a lot of fun to certainly participate in and to watch as well. You may be familiar with it. I hope you'll join in with your own comments about it. What do you like about it, or maybe what don't you like about it? I'd love to hear from you with your questions and comments at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions and with your comments. Again, we'd love to hear from you. So all these different events, and you have some events coming up. Actually, there's something this weekend, isn't there?
That's right. We in Columbus, Wisconsin, we have the Columbus Horse and Carriage Festival, Larry. We have a beautiful old Fireman's Park there with the Fireman's Park Pavilion, which was built by the three fire departments in town, which were all volunteers. So with this beautiful park and pavilion as a background, we have classes going on in two rings. We also have a Civil War encampment. President Lincoln is planning to visit again. General Grant will be there. There is going to be a Civil War vintage ball Saturday night. There is a style show. There is breakfast with the president. The president will give a lecture. Let's see. The 1st Brigade Band from Milwaukee will be there. They'll be marching and playing for the ball. And the Friends of the State Historical Society of Wisconsin have teamed with us to help support these historical venues. So, again, what we're really doing is we're preserving not only the sport of pleasure driving, but we're trying to introduce history and especially community history into the sport to broaden it a little bit. The event in Columbus runs from about 8:30 in the morning till 4 each day. Mm-hmm. And as is the case with almost all pleasure driving events and many combined driving events, admission is free.
Oh, well, you can't beat that.
The price is right, I think.
I guess so. I would guess so. John Freiberger, our guest today, talking with him about pleasure driving. Let's hear from you. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. Caller Kate actually wondered how And this is a sort of a technical question for those who own horses. How do you store your harnesses without the critters eating it out, or at least harming the harnesses?
Well, the old harnesses, Larry, of course, were all leather. Nowadays, a lot of our materials are synthetics, biothanes and such. What's nice about them is they're much less expensive. They're stronger. They wear forever. And when your horse comes in hot and sweaty after a workout, you wash the horse with a harness on. It saves a whole bunch of time.
Oh.
But I'm sure Kate's talking about probably fine leather harness, and of course that can get moldy. So it's important to store it. Generally, there are harness racks available from almost every equine supplier. Everything needs to be stored on a wall, off of the floor. Things shouldn't be left curled up in trunks where the mice can get in and find a comfortable place. So if you can get a dehumidifier in your tack room or a large closet, hang things on the wall, keep your harnesses well oiled. We have harnesses. I think I've got one old harness that I've probably gotten 30 years out of at this point. We use it for starting horses. It doesn't look so great. It's not show quality. But well-maintained, things can last forever.
She also wondered if there is a place, a website or whatever, to post items related to the sport for sale in Wisconsin.
Yes, there are several. And let me talk just a little bit about the organization of driving in Wisconsin. Now, nationally, it may surprise people to know that the home office of the American Driving Society is in Cross Plains, Wisconsin. Part of this is because Wisconsin per capita has the largest number of carriage drivers of any state in the United States. This is a sport that's really quite popular here, which is probably why it's worth having a program to talk about. We have a lot of people who drive. If you're a member of the American Driving Society, which is all of $75 a year, the American Driving Society offers all kinds of educational events, the rule books, webinars that you can attend for free, guides to driving trails throughout the United States, but it also has a free classified ad section. So if Kate has something she wishes to buy or sell, she can go to it. And I believe, I'm not absolutely sure, but I believe that anyone can access it to look at it. The other thing that we still have is we have a large number of driving clubs in Wisconsin. In the Madison area, I know where Kate is, there's the Hub Club has members all the way from Madison to northern Illinois. The Dairyland Driving Club has 170 to 200 families most times. The Lakeshore Club, of course, near the Lakeshore, Northwoods Harness Club in the north. Joining these clubs generally costs $20 to $25 a year. And these are really direct carryovers from the history we're talking about at the turn of the century. Many of these clubs have websites and are a great place to look for activities and for buying and selling products.
Very good. John Freiberger, our guest today. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. A little bit later on in the program, we're going to be talking about grilling. Mad Dog and Merrill, our grilling experts, will be by about 11:45 to talk with us about old Father's Day barbecuing, among other things. So we'll be doing that about 11:45. Right now, we're talking about the sport of pleasure driving with John Freiberger, president of the American Driving Society. Great to have him along. Thanks for listening in. Questions for him, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, email at talk@wpr.org, or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And let's take a call. Joan in Chicago, yeah. Thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Great, appreciate your call. What's on your mind?
I've seen something similar to this in England, where you had drivers and teams of horses. And so I'm wondering about in this event here in America, what are the size of the teams and what are the natures of the vehicles? Are they one man? Are they larger capacity? Are they single horses? Are they teams of horses? Are they four horses? Especially in the skill driving component.
Oh, interesting.
Well, Joan, there is about everything. The sizes, as we mentioned earlier, the sizes go all the way from minis up to drafts. The combinations are various. There are lots of classes for singles, and usually classes are divided by the type of what we call the type of turnout. So the single horses would be in one class, single ponies in another, class for novice ponies, class for novice drivers, and then we'll get into the multiples classes. And if we have enough, we'll have a separate class for pairs. We also have people who drive tandems, which is one of the hardest things to drive, where one horse is out in front of the other horse.
Oh.
There's no shafts, there's no pole, and if that horse wants to, he can simply turn around, walk back to the carriage, and look at you. So it takes a great deal of skill because all of the work is just with the reins. So tandem classes are one of the great challenges. Then we also have what's called a random, which will be two behind and one in front, which is a little easier to drive.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, we go to four in hands, and then especially with drafts, we go to sixes. The four in hands are one of my favorites. It's a great art to be able to work with them. The vehicles, again, are various. Probably the epitome of pleasure driving is what's called coaching. And this is something we do have a few people who do coach in Wisconsin, but we've never had a coaching club here. Historically, the great one was the New York City Coaching Club, which I believe was founded by August Belmont. These men maintained farms up the Hudson River, almost all the way to Albany, and would go out for a Sunday drive changing horses about every 12 to 14 miles.
Whoa.
So many of these men would have 100 horses at the stables, and they would go out as a group with coaches, carrying along as many as a dozen people with them. And some of these were historic road coaches from England, which you'll still see at shows. So these are coaches that were going from London to Canterbury in the 1860s and 1870s and have been lovingly preserved and are being driven by four horses and appearing in shows. We don't have too many of those in Wisconsin, but especially when you get to the East Coast, to the large shows like Devon, Walnut Hill, you will certainly see that.
That's good. Now, coaches, would they be open coaches? When you said coach, I immediately thought of the old stagecoach from the Western movies and so forth.
The stagecoach, the Concord coach, which we call a stagecoach, is something that was sort of bred down to be a lighter weight of an English road coach.
Oh.
Our roads are actually a little bit better than some of the roads in England. So when you see an English road coach, this thing was heavy duty. This was the Mack truck. This was basically the intercity bus system for England. And you'll see it in many old English prints. It was one of the favorite subjects of artists, of the people getting on and off the road coach. And, of course, if you read your Dickens, you will find numerous times where somebody's getting on the coach to go visit somebody or other.
Dan in La Crosse, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. I had polio when I was a baby. I lived in Angelo near Sparta. When I was six, I had a major operation. People would send cards with dollar bills in them. My parents put the dollar bills together and added money and bought me a pony and a cart. And I was the most popular kid in Angelo at that time. And I was driving through the village square, went past a dog kennel, the dogs barked, and the pony went through the ditch. I went out head first, casts on both legs, and landed on my head.
Oh my goodness.
But that's my pony cart story. I'm also a songwriter. I've written a song called Dark Horse, but just wanted to share that.
Oh, and John Freiberger, I know you as you mentioned earlier, had some experiences, family experiences that might be kind of similar in a way.
Yes, with my mother's disability, she was born so that she had great difficulty walking, and until artificial hips were invented in the 1970s. So she was a very committed and enthusiastic driver. And we have an organization in the United States called U.S. Driving for the Disabled. And that has a website. U.S. Driving for the Disabled works with everything from young children, as Dan was way back when, to especially nowadays veterans of Iraq and Afghanistan. We have a team of Marines who are working together, all disabled, to put together a competition team to do combined driving. But we found that the horse sports, both in the riding sports and in driving, is a way that disabled people can compete with people who have no disabilities. So I've dedicated quite a bit of time to U.S. Driving for Disabled as well, and that's another one of the boards on which I sit. And I certainly encourage anyone who has a disability to go out and take a look at that organization. What's funny about American Driving Society, Larry, is we've done a survey. Our average member is 52 years old and is a former hunter-jumper or event or rodeo rider who now has bad knees. They want to stay with the horses. So you will see a lot of people gimping around the showgrounds. But, of course, once they get in that vehicle, we've got old people with horses with young legs.
But you've got some young folks involved in this, too.
We do. We are especially enthusiastic about junior drivers. And if you do have a junior who's interested in driving, there is a tremendous amount of funding available for them. We have juniors who are being sent to British Columbia this July to go to clinics, almost all expenses paid. We have a clinic in North Carolina coming up in July that we will be sending people to, including, I believe, two from Wisconsin. Carriage driving is very, very family-oriented, and I think this is one of the reasons why the events are all free. We have a lot of us are older people. We have children. We have grandchildren, and we love to see them out with the horses.
Yeah. Annie in Milwaukee, thank you for calling. Hello.
Yes, I was wondering if sulky racing was an offshoot of that era for the kids, the younger people who wanted speed behind a horse.
Sulky racing did develop at the same time, and those of us that remember the old county fairgrounds before they were all torn down remember the half-mile-long trotting tracks. So this, again, came out of the same, the development of the middle class and the wish to have some leisure and still the enjoyment of horses. When you go to some of the very large shows, such as Walnut Hill, you'll see roadster classes. And a roadster is a vehicle that basically it was a straight-ahead vehicle. It was to get you into town on a road fast and home again. Wasn't that great for turning, but you will see such things as skeleton gigs where the spokes on the wheels seem to be the size of two pencils put together. You can pick these things up and carry them around. They are so lightweight. So if you go to these shows, you'll see antique vehicles and reproductions of antiques that show you the different enthusiasms that people had for the sport.
I happen to be looking at a picture that was taken 3/14/1914 in Milwaukee. And it's a picture of one of my husband's relatives behind his big white horse in a sulky racer. And it's always fascinated me. Where did this start? How was it like kids today wanting a dragster track and stuff like that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you have a horse, you have to race it. You know, certainly in ridden the cross country racing, the point to point races, the timber races where you're jumping over these giant timber obstacles. All of these things really began back in the 1700s. As soon as people had good horses, they wanted to show them off. I mean, we are all competitive, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just sort of a fascinating picture. Thank you.
Thanks, Annie. Thank you for calling. And Christina in Glenwood, it's your turn. Hi.
Hi there. Thank you. Well, first of all, I just want to say that getting out and driving is just a wonderful way to spend the day, packing a picnic lunch and all. But my question is, I had heard that Madison will occasionally have a large driving event. I think it's a parade with a variety of horse-drawn vehicles, and I'm wondering if you know whether they will be doing that this year.
The last one that I remember that was really large was actually a celebration on one of the anniversaries of the city parks. And because of the Madison Pleasure Drive was the origin of the city parks, we were all invited to come and drive, and we wandered around town to the dismay of many bicyclists and pedestrians since we had left things in the street. What you may be thinking of is in Fitchburg, Wisconsin, just south of Madison, the third weekend of July at my farm, we host what's called a combined driving event. And there you will see quite a variety of vehicles and animals. Again, all the way from minis to, I know one Clydesdale is already entered. Wow. And again, that is the third weekend in July. It is free. It's a two-day event, and it's a great deal. It's a great deal of fun. Some of it is similar to pleasure driving, but there also is a significant variation. We sort of sometimes refer to combined driving as NASCAR with horses, because for the cross-country portion of it, where we drive cross-country, we use modern stainless steel vehicles with four-wheel disc brakes, independent rear suspension, and everything else that a machine-minded person might enjoy. I would mention to people who are looking for events, if you simply go to the American Driving Society website, you can click on the calendar. And that will tell you about events in Wisconsin and the surrounding, well, tell you events all over the United States. But in the middle of winter, we have four or five sleigh rallies, which are great fun, and you will see them listed there.
Oh, it sounds like, in fact, on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show, we have a direct link to the American Driving Society.
Oh, perfect. So, I'll take a look at that.
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks, Christina, for calling.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Yeah, you too. And we'll take some more calls. You can join in, too, by the way. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call. Jim in Middleton, your turn. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, hi, Larry. I have a question that's a little different. I'm fascinated by the nomenclature of harnesses of horses. I'm 82 years old, so I grew up on a farm with horses where I had to put the harness on and go out and do some work with them. But I remember some old names like Haynes and Sursuckle and things like that. But it seems to me there's a whole nomenclature out there that is kind of lost in our society today. And I'm wondering if there is a resource I can go to reclaim some of those things out of my childhood.
There certainly are, and I'm going to give you yet another organization, Jim. The American Driving Society does have harness charts, and I think it was primarily developed for measuring your horse to order a harness, but I believe you can get that off of the American Driving Society website. But we have another organization that's now headquartered in Lexington, Kentucky, called the Carriage Association of America, the CAA, and they have a website. The Carriage Association is the association for people whose primary enthusiasm is not the horses but the vehicles. Many of them drive as well, but others simply collect vehicles. And the vehicles of every type and description are owned by members. They have a nice magazine that you might enjoy receiving that has a great deal of historical information in it. And you can send queries into that magazine. So if you want to know the origins of all the various harness terms, most of which are English words that we've brought over to the United mm-hmm. States, the CAA would be another resource that you might enjoy looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that sounds like a great idea, because I have all these terms out of my childhood, and because a lot of people left the farm when I was about 12 years old, mm-hmm. I really don't remember what they mean. Can you tell me what a sursuckle is?
A sursingle is basically a belt that is used around the horse, and we use them for a couple of different reasons. One is when we're ground driving a horse, that is, before we put them to the vehicle, we will put a sursingle around their chest and with a couple of little loops on the top to help guide the reins. So rather than put the entire draft saddle and harness on it, all we need is a bridle and the sursingle, a couple of reins, and we can do some ground driving with this horse to get it ready to really go. And I think, Jim, you'll find that all of the terms that you learned as a six-year-old are still in use today.
Yeah, I'd bet.
Okay, well, you've been very helpful. Thank you.
Certainly. Yeah, and you may want to come to Columbus and walk around the barns. And Larry, I think it's worth mentioning this openness to families and to people on the part of the American Driving Society. We're like everybody else, old car collectors, whatever. We love people to come up and ask questions, talk, introduce their children to the horses in a safe manner, of course. But people will find it just remarkably open.
And let's go back through that again, the Columbus, because that's this coming weekend.
Yes, Columbus is Father's Day weekend. The Hickory Knoll Combined Drive is the third weekend of August. And then we want to make sure to mention a great show that is held on the grounds of the Villa Louis the second weekend of September over in Prairie du Chien. That's the largest pleasure driving show in Wisconsin, one of the largest in the United States. Now, that one, Larry, because of the great effort that they have to put forth over there, does charge admission. It's one of the few shows that isn't free, but it's a very large undertaking. And again, we have linked with the State Historic Society of Wisconsin to bring together basically a historical tableau.
And again, the Columbus one is at the Columbus Fairgrounds?
It's at Fireman's Park.
Fireman's Park.
Fireman's
okay.
Park, right on Park Street. Very easy to find.
And Saturday and Sunday.
It is on Saturday and Sunday.
Jim, thanks again.
Thank you so much for your help.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. Dan and Eau Claire, it's your turn next. Let's see here. Whoops. There. Now I've got the
Good
right
morning.
Button pushed. Hi, Dan. Thanks for calling.
Sure. I was listening to your, actually one of my colleagues at work had picked up your program, and he said, they're talking about you, and I belong to a carriage club, Manes and Tails, towards St. Paul, and we have a drive once a month at somebody's place, and we just go out and potluck and that kind of thing. It's a fun thing, but last year I found a skeleton, what do they call it, a skeleton gig, a four-wheel sulky.
Yes, skeleton gig.
On eBay. I'd never seen one before, and I've seen thousands and thousands of them of carriages and such at auctions, and this was for sale in Philadelphia. So I called the guy, and he said, well, I've got documentation that this was once pulled by Dan Patch, a famous racehorse.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
We all know Dan Patch.
And I thought, oh, my gosh. So I talked him into holding it until the weather was nice enough where I could drive out and get it. It's just lovely. And like you had mentioned before, I think it weighs like 75 pounds complete. I have no idea how they rode in that thing going as fast as they were. It's almost suicidal, I would think.
Well, that's part of the reason that these driving clubs paved roads, isn't it? To make it a little bit less dangerous to go to go that fast. These are absolutely amazing vehicles, Larry. You look at these things and you look at the age of them and you go, how could wood this thin work? But the balance of forces was worked out to distribute the load so evenly that these things have survived. There's a couple of beautiful ones here in Wisconsin that the collectors have.
There are. I stopped at an Amish gentleman's farm in Ohio on the way back from Philadelphia, and I had to bring him out and show him this amazing skeleton gig and promised he'd never seen one before.
Ah, very cool.
There aren't a lot of them left.
No, well, he took me to his porch and showed me one that he had.
So your group is called Manes and Tails?
Manes and Tails, yes.
Very cool. Thank you, Dan, for calling.
Thank you for the program.
Yeah, I appreciate it very much.
Larry, we should probably mention that we have a nice carriage museum in Wisconsin, and I believe that the grand reopening of it after a big reconstruction was last weekend up at Wade House. The State Historic Society of Wisconsin has the Young Carriage Museum. That's another nice place to go to take a look at vehicles. I don't think they've got anything as exquisite as Dan has up there in Eau Claire. Of course, maybe someday he'll donate. But they have everything from steam pumping fire engines down to country road carts. And Wade House is always a great place to take the family for a day and take a look at it.
And you're a judge. You're to the point where you actually judge these competitions. Is that how much fun is that?
Well, it's actually a great deal of fun because I get to travel around the country from the East Coast to the West Coast. I do everything from county fairs to recognize American Driving Society shows. So it gives me the opportunity to meet a large number of people, see a large number of horses, and to continue to learn more about the history and sport of pleasure driving.
Well, we had a Facebook comment from Sherry who says that you and Betsy do a lot for the driving community and says we appreciate the Hickory Knoll CDE that you host. And makes a nice comment here. She says, driving horses is a great way to include the whole family and not as expensive as you might think. It's the best sport for your soul, and the driving community is the best. That's pretty nice.
That certainly is. That certainly is my sentiment, Larry, and it's the reason why I devote as much time and energy as I do to it. We are preserving something very valuable in Wisconsin and American culture. We're maintaining a link with horses, which otherwise is very difficult to do in the modern world, and we're maintaining a link with the small towns and big cities of the past where even in a heterogeneous population, there were combined goals. People could enjoy each other's company. You know, the banker was out in his very expensive gig, and the factory worker was there in his little sulky, but they were all out on Sunday, and they were members of the same club. So it's something valuable that is really worth preserving.
And again, this weekend, let's promote that again for people, because it's a chance to observe and actually see this in action.
Not only see it in action, Larry, but also see the Civil War encampment, perhaps get to meet President Lincoln, listen to General Grant give a lecture on his experiences during the war. So Columbus, Wisconsin at Fireman's Park. Either of the Columbus, there are three Columbus exits, either the first or the last one, either the east or the west, will put you right onto the street with Fireman's Park. Everything is free. We will have some very nice food vendors there. If you like pie, Mount Olivet Church will be there. Again, we're continuing the tradition of good food, good fellowship amongst horses.
Well, it's a great pleasure, John. I thank you so much for being with us today. And you're going to be there, of course, so people will...
I will certainly be there. I'm the organizer.
All right. Great fun, John. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Larry.
John Freiberger, president of the American Driving Society. And, you know, if you want some more information about the events or about the society... you just go to my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. I've got a link to the American Driving Society. Click on that, and it'll take you right to it. And it's going to be a lot of fun. This weekend's going to be a lot of fun to be in Columbus, Wisconsin. And as a participant or even as a spectator, I bet you you work up an appetite at something like a pleasure driving competition. John was just talking about the pie that's going to be there and all the other food. And speaking of food, we've got more talk about food coming up with Grilling Buddies. Mad Dog and Merrill are here with some great ideas for a Father's Day cookout menu, grilling ideas for the rest of the summer and beyond. So that's coming up next. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.